You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I am joined today by a very special guest, the most special of guests. My best friend, Dave. Dave, what's happening?
What's going on, Adam? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I should say, so my friend David, you know, grew up playing basketball with me, and big. You were more of a Nuggets fan than I was, really, up until maybe, I don't know, 2000, at some point in college. But still keep up with the NBA, keep up with sports in general. And last year we had a really good time doing the over-unders for the entire NBA, and so I wanted to do it again.
Yeah. I'm ready to make some predictions. I think there's some good value out there. I think there's some bad lines.
Some bad lines. I like this. Everybody's going to blame you now when they bet their life savings on Charlotte. Like, can't believe I lost money on the Charlotte Hornets.
Definitely not Charlotte. Yeah.
We should do that. We should make, for each conference, let's have two locks. Like stone cold locks, and I don't even know which ones mine will be at the moment, but I'm sure we'll arrive at them.
There's a very obvious one in the West. You'll know it when we come there, in my opinion.
Okay, perfect. We'll have fun with this. And then, Dave, you do a little bit of sports gambling, or at least you have for, you know, that's been part of your repertoire with sports.
If you ask if I have I bet $500 on Oregon versus Oregon State first half line, and I've never watched either team, yeah, I've done that. So I've lost plenty of money.
Complete gambling degenerate. Perfect. It should be fun, and it's also just a fun way to kind of talk about every team in the NBA. So we'll see. It might be a two-part thing. We'll kind of see how long this goes. But let's kick things off. We're going to go in alphabetical order, starting with the Eastern Conference. Then we'll do alphabetical order with the Western Conference. So starting in the East, we have the Atlanta Hawks, and I'll just give you a quick rundown. Last year, they won 24 games, lost 58. They were the worst team in the entire Eastern Conference. They were tied for the third worst record overall. They added Trae Young, and who else did they add on this roster? Nobody, actually. Jeremy Lin and Kevin Huerter.
They lost Schroeder.
They lost Schroeder.
And they lost Coach Bud. I think that's actually a pretty
the biggest big loss. Yeah, that's the biggest loss.
I mean,
losing general manager Bud, maybe a big gain, but losing Coach Bud, a big loss.
this seems, I mean, the line is, I got 23.5. This seems like an obvious under.
We should say we're using the initial Westgate one, so we have a uniform one. Yeah, 23.5.
Okay. You figure number one, they're the lowest in attendance, right? And next year they got a chance at either RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, or probably Zion Williamson. If you put
No way is he number one pick. I would be so shocked. I saw his free throw line dunk today. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. It's freaking impressive.
It's insane that a 300-pound man that's only 6'6" can jump from the free throw line like that.
But if you want to put people in seats, I mean, that's your guy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, when you think of the Atlanta Hawks, they do Tinder night and they do cheap food and drinks. I mean, they're getting desperate over there.
Which is surprising. I would have guessed Atlanta should be a bigger NBA market, but it just isn't. This team, Trae Young, I think, is going to really be bad next year. And I'm not super low on Trae Young. I'm not super high. I don't have a hot Trae Young tank. I think picking him 5 and trading down was a bad move. But I think he'll be fine. I just don't think he'll be fine next year.
It's a lot of pressure on him, too. I mean, he's got to be better than Doncic. I mean, when you're bad, there's not a lot of pressure, too. So I don't know. I mean,
what I love about Atlanta is they said, we're going to get the like C version of Steph Curry, and we're going to get the C version of Klay Thompson and Kevin Huerter. And it's kind of funny. I don't think it'll work, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm betting the under on that one.
They are one of the few teams that will be tanking next year because they just don't have any incentive to try to make the playoffs. And from the start, they're a team that just from the start will be trying to lose. But that being said, you know, 23.5, will they be worse than they were last year? Maybe. Actually, quite frankly, they might be worse than they were last year. This is a stay away bet for me.
Yeah.
but I do think that they have a chance to be one of the two or three worst teams in all of the NBA.
It is super low. What, I mean, Phoenix won 21 last year. They kind of seem like less talent than that Phoenix team, I guess.
You want to know one hidden advantage if you want to really think about gambling here. They have Magic City. And I did not know this until last year, the giant, like maybe the most famous strip club in all of the U.S. But I did not know this. The Denver Nuggets, all of their years of playing Atlanta is something like 8-45 all time in Atlanta.
Oh, that's right.
So they might be one of those teams that just beats like seven or eight wins next year you don't expect just because it's Atlanta. But but maybe not.
Maybe they did steal Jerome Drinovich from us. And
shouts,
that's a big loss.
Man, I'm sad at how few people will catch that reference.
I watched
Drinovich. Oh yikes. Yeah, the Boston Celtics. We don't have to go through all their moves because I think they're high profile enough. But they add Gordon Hayward to their lineup.
I mean, they won 55 last year, and the line's 57.5. I mean, it just seems like an obvious over, right? They're so stacked they could get injured. Like a few players could get injured, and I feel like they'd still be fine.
They definitely have the most like top level depth because there's a good player that might come off. Like Marcus Smart could come off the bench. Marcus Morris. I mean, they have some players, man.
Yeah, and they're still competing with Toronto and Philadelphia, so the number one seed will matter to them. I mean, they have a fantastic home court, so it's not like they're the Warriors and they can cruise during the regular season. It feels like wins will matter to them.
Absolutely, and the other thing is, I think with Brad Stevens, he's a great coach, but I think one of the things he's really great at is, similar to Popovich, is they just don't lose. They lose fewer of those like crazy games than most teams. They just don't lose to Charlotte, you know, with 2 days rest or whatever. So all right. So how are you feeling about their over under? It was
Definitely over. Definitely over.
Okay. One of the things. So you had 57.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that's interesting about all of the lines is every team. I think one of the things Vegas is looking at is that so many teams will be better that the top. And the bottom, like the top will be a little bit less. There's fewer wins at the top. So that is one thing about them. But look, man, I think Boston's really freaking good. I'm surprised at how many people are picking Philadelphia and Toronto to come out of the East. To me, I feel like Boston is pretty comfortably ahead of those teams.
I'm 100% with you. I mean, I like Philadelphia, but they didn't really add anybody. Who did they add? That was kind of a disappointment.
Wilson Chandler. I don't know if they don't have a lot of shooting. Boston is set up so beautifully. Like, not only are they super talented, but they make sense. Whereas Philadelphia has two elite talents, but they don't really have the shooting.
I think the biggest hurdle for Brad Stevens is just keeping them happy. There's a lot of personalities coming off the bench. Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Robert Williams. That guy seems like a character. I mean, your starting five is stacked. I mean, one of the best starting five, but just keeping everyone happy.
Actually, that's a good question. Do they have the best starting five?
Kyrie, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and Horford.
There's not a weak link in there.
A healthy Boogie, I guess you got to still say Golden State slightly. But to start the year, I guess they don't have a lot of camaraderie yet. But
I think that's the best 1-5.
Yeah.
Golden State, I just don't think Cousins will be healthy. But to me, that starting five is just so damn good.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. So you go over.
Yep.
Those lines are so good. Vegas is so tough. you know what? I'll go over as well. I'll go over. And you mentioned the like keeping everybody happy and motivated. They haven't gotten over the hump yet. I feel like you really start to get fat and happy either after prolonged failure or after success, and they haven't
That's
had
true.
It yet, so I think they're still hungry. The Brooklyn Nets, 32.5.
Brooklyn Nets. Okay, full disclosure, I was listening to your podcast the other day. I didn't know who Jared Allen was.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I also thought Kyle O'Quinn and Quincy Acey were the same person. but I know they got Russell Dinwiddie, LeVert, they got Hollis Jefferson, Joe Harris, crap. They got hardworking, good guys. I like Kenny Atkinson. He's kind of like Rick Pitino meets Billy Donovan meets
from the look
Quinn Snyder. Yeah.
You know what's funny is because he comes from the Budenholzer tree, and I think he's a Budenholzer type, man. I just think he gets how to space the floor on offense and
running gun, lots of possessions. They play hard. I'm taking the over. I mean, they're 28 wins last year, 32.5 is the line. I'm taking the over.
That's another interesting one. I do think they're going to be a team that surprises a lot of people. You know what? I'll take the over on them too. God, we have three. Do we have three overs so far? No, we have one under. Atlanta's under.
Yeah.
You know who I like on that team? Kenneth Faried. For all the reasons you talked about, I mean, they don't have a backup center. Kenneth Faried could be the backup center there, and they already play the fastest pace. They could really run teams out of the gym. And you know, everybody has that East Coast swing. Like all the West Coast teams, they play Brooklyn on some kind of like 3 or 4 game road trip. So,
oh yeah,
you know what? I could see it. They also have no tanking reason, right? Do they own their own pick? I don't think
they have the Nuggets pick right next year.
They do have theirs from Denver, and they do own their pick next year.
They do own their pick.
Yep. So maybe they have a slight. Oof, that maybe changes things. You know. You know what? I will go under there because we're going to go over way too many times. So I will take. I think it's going to be like 30 to 31 win, 31, 32.
I gotcha.
So I'll go under. Do you have another take? Another Brooklyn take?
Well, I was going to say I'm looking forward to seeing them on TV this year, but they'll never be on national television. So I have no idea.
They're going to be one of the teams I don't watch very much for sure this year. Charlotte, 35.5. Let's look at their roster. Tony Parker. That's kind of a
God. They're so boring. They're like the 10 role players. They're like the LA Clippers of the East. Or
can I give you a hot take? I think they're way more interesting now without Dwight. I like Cody Zeller. I like Biombo.
And they got Bridges, Miles Bridges.
Oh
right,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, and Parker. They're deep. It's like their goal every year is to be 42 wins or just average.
Yeah, they are stuck there. They're stuck right there.
But yeah, their over-under is low, 35.5. That's what they were last year. And what, Batum missed some time and they had a lot of injuries. Malik Monk didn't even play that much. I'm taking the over.
Man, another over. They're not a playoff team though, right? I mean, they're well below that threshold or do you think they're right there?
They're right there with the Detroit, the 8th seed.
35 would have been a 35 would have been an 11 seed last year. And that's actually what they were, 36 wins, the 10 seed.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, there's nothing exciting about that team. They need a new identity or a future star or something.
Also
and
I was going to say new coach as well, right?
Is it Casey who's there now?
No, he's a
Oh, he's Detroit, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see. James Borrego.
James Borrego. James Borrego. Yep, you're right. Yeah.
First guy.
So that could cause some, you know, that can go one way, either of two ways. Here's my take. I think they're better without Dwight. Dwight's a good player. I don't think they're a great team, but I like Cody Zeller. I think he makes Kemba Walker, I think he makes the other guys around, you know, like the other guys to shine a little bit more, a little bit of health. And then Tony Parker's there as well. I like them a little bit better. The problem is I don't like them more than 35.5 wins. I'm going to go under on Charlotte too.
Well, yeah, I guess the things helping that is that Kemba could be traded again, right? I don't think
that's a great, that you're right. Yeah. There's a trade factor involved there. That's a great point.
They looked good versus Denver last year. They spanked us. Do you remember that game?
I was in Charlotte for that game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I traveled with that one. Dwight Howard, I think, a tough matchup for Nikola.
Different body types.
Yeah, one of the guys that can get him. The Chicago Bulls at 27.5 is one of the interesting ones to me.
They're just God. So number one, they lead the league in attendance, right?
Did not know that, but okay.
Yeah, did you know they're the number one in attendance, the Chicago Bulls? People are clamoring to see
Lowry Bird.
Looking at their payroll, Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, Amir Asik, and Cristiano Felicio, they combined to make $60 million next year.
That's a classic rebuilding team move. Where your Denver actually had this last year, right? Mason Plumlee, Darrell Arthur, Kenneth Faried were making all the money.
God, I'm taking the under 20. They won 20. This one's tough. They won 27 last year. 27 and a half is the line. They feel like a team that's still, what they say, 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I will say I do think there's some potential for this to be a true Hoiberg team if they decide to play Markkanen at center and just go really small and not play Oshik, Felicio, or Lopez. But I just don't see him doing that. So I don't love this team at all.
Yeah, I mean, how long before Hoiberg is fired? How many years are they giving him?
Well, this would be it, I think. It's an interesting spot for him to be in because there's no expectations this year, but if they don't play well, is he fired? I mean, he's in a real tight spot. That being said, 27 and a half wins.
It's pretty low, I know.
That was what the Sacramento Kings won last year, and they were not good. So can they be as
bad? The Bulls aren't good.
Can they be as bad? Chicago's a team that did they have their own pick as well, I believe. I mean, a quick look here. I have it right in front. They have their own pick. So they're they're an early tanker. I'm going to go under. 27.5 is really low, but they're going to be the one of the three or four teams that by December it's all about, okay, let's try these lineups we know don't work, but we need to get we need to get minutes for Chandler Hutchison.
There's good players to be had next year, so I think they'll definitely lean towards tanking.
Yeah. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 30 and a half wins.
That's disrespectful, man. That's just 30. Do you know, and I don't want to any spoilers, but the Magic are over under is 31 and a half, and Cleveland's is 30 and a half. I'm taking the over, and I think it's pretty obviously over.
Is that a lock? Is that a lock for you?
You know what? Let me see here. Yeah, that's my lock of the East. I mean, I know they're going to be worse, but geez Louise, 30 and a half wins.
Guess Kevin Love's stat line next year.
Okay, number one, I predict he's going to go back to Fat Kevin Love. Fat Kevin Love.
There's no chance.
No, Fat Kevin Love was good.
You're not saying he'll gain fat. You're just saying he'll play like he did?
I think he's going to get fat. Jokic is good, a little fat. You were good in high school and college.
Hey, man.
Not fat, but you know.
I've been compared to Boris Diaw. It's such a compliment and an insult all wrapped in one. It cracks me up.
If you drink coffee in your locker, I think.
So Kevin Love averaged 26 points per game his last year in Minnesota, and then has averaged basically 16 and a half since. What do you think he averages?
22 and a half, 8.5 rebounds, 3 assists, something like that.
I think the rebounds will be completely different because you look at his rebound numbers. He averaged 15 rebounds a game 1 year in Minnesota.
Oh, God.
He averaged, here's his, he so rookie year 9, then 11, 15, 13, 14, 12, 12.5. So his rebounds fell off as his 3-point shooting became more prevalent, but he was still a comfortable 12.5 rebound guy per game. And then even with the Cavs team, he was at 10, 10, 11, and 9. So I actually think he's a double-double guy. I think he's going to be like 23 and 10, 23 and 11.
He's got no pressure next year. He doesn't have LeBron screaming at him. And also, they probably have a little chip on their shoulder. I mean, they want to prove that it wasn't all LeBron.
Here's my thought about that. I've heard so many players talk about how much, it's different on a championship culture. Like, it's just hard to explain until you're there. It's different. And I wonder what it's like going from championship to not. Because as much as you say that, we want to prove something, they all know. Their ceiling is getting smoked in the first round by one of the top three seeds. So,
yeah, but they were embarrassed. Like, Saturday Night Live was ripping on them. Like, everyone was ripping on them without LeBron. I mean, they got to have a little pride, you'd think.
There's also just no cohesion. I could see that if it was LeBron left and, you know, there's still Kyrie and Kevin Love and Tris. But George Hill doesn't really have a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers pride. He's only been there for a couple months. J.R. Smith, I think, is a foot out the door just even mentally already. Kyle Korver's long in the tooth, but maybe I just don't see him as a guy that's like, ooh, I'm going to prove that no, Kyle Korver was actually why the Cavs are.
Well played.
Larry Nance Jr., it feels more like a start of his time in Cleveland than a continuation because he, just like George Hill, he's barely there. So I just don't know that all these guys have that same pride that you're talking about. To me, it feels
like a
turning a new leaf.
I'm still taking the over, and I'm still locking it because it's embarrassing. But What did they offer? Hassan Whiteside. Was it Thompson and Korver for Hassan Whiteside?
Gosh,
he's not that bad. You know,
Hassan Whiteside. I think he is horrible. Him and Kevin Love together. I guess that's maybe it makes sense. I don't know.
Rebounding machines. Yeah.
Their team, I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they have any motivation. This is a 1 year and then everybody's off the books type situation. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some trades. That being said, one of these teams in the East has to not be terrible, and they're as good of a candidate as anyone. So 30 wins going over, I'll go with you. I think I could see that one being over, but I think it's like 32 wins. I don't think it's that great. And then if Kevin Love misses any time, oh my God, that team is terrible. The Detroit Pistons.
God, we're starting with all the terrible teams. man, that Blake Griffin trade, it just reeked of desperation. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond is pretty far from a modern-day front court.
Yeah, God, I mean, there's just no excitement in that arena. The only thing, you know, maybe Dwayne Casey, we can see if he's a good coach.
I mean, I think certainly he will be a guy that raises their floor. But, I mean, Stanley Johnson, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond is your front court. None of those guys can shoot. I mean, Blake Griffin can kind of shoot that mid-range jumper. I mean, I guess that's – but not a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. Drummond can't. Stanley Johnson can't. Reggie Jackson's not a guy I would ever want to play with.
Right.
This is my least favorite team, I think, next year.
I think so. Just a lot of selfishness, no cohesion. I'm taking the under, 37.5. I'm going under.
I'm going to go under two, and I would not be surprised if they were another team that not planning on tanking this year, but gets to December, January, and is like, guys, we just don't have it. This is not a good team. Let's start experimenting and go from there. But the other piece about it is look at their roster and tell me which guys are trade chips, because if you wanted to blow this up, they can't. Reggie Bullock, maybe. But outside of that, who's a guy you say, you know what, we need to start over? We're going to throw in John Lure? We're going to throw in Henry Ellenson? I mean, they don't have any guys that are really...
I don't know. Kennard, still young. Glenn Robinson III, people liked him.
But those guys, as much as I like, I think, you know, Luke Kennard can be a guy that you know, becomes better than people think. His trade value isn't that high. It's still a speculative bet. So I'm going to go with them as a blow-it-up team. They might...
Yeah.
Should they be my lock? Detroit... Ooh, the East is so bad it's hard to come up with locks. No, I'm not going to give them my lock just yet. Are you under on them, though?
Yeah, I'm under. Yeah.
How many Detroit games do you think you're going to watch this year? Nuggets play them twice.
Nuggets twice. There it is, two.
Yeah, I think I'll watch them five times or fewer.
The only way I'd watch a game is if Blake Griffin starts dating some hot-ass chick and she's courtside and I don't know. That's about it.
Wow. What a take. the Indiana Pacers.
Pacers.
Oh, this is going to be so fun. I can't wait for the take here.
Okay, so let's hear. They won, 48 last year, and the line's basically the same, 47.5.
Because it felt like they played above their heads last year, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I say under. You know, regression, little regression here.
Ooh, little regression. We're going under now. Earlier, I was afraid we were going to go over too much. Now we're going under. I think Oladipo's actually as good as he played last year. I think Darren Collison is really good. I think Bogdanovich, I like Bogdanovich. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I think Sabonis is really good. I think Kyle O'Quinn is really good.
Yeah. So Quincy Acey.
Aaron Holiday. Yeah, Quincy Acey. Aaron Holiday, I think, is really good or can be really good. Maybe he's a piece of the rotation at some point. I like them. Somebody has to win.
Yeah.
Did you see Meta World Peace says that it's going to be the Knicks and the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I was wondering why it was a headline when he started with the Pacers. I was like, okay, you know, the Pacers and then the Knicks. He must have been – does he drink a lot or something?
Does he drink a lot? I think we're in the era now where the crazier you can be, the more you're going to get eyeballs. And picking the Knicks and the Pacers, I mean, my God. But that being said, somebody has to win games out there. Let me see what 47.5 – what would that have put you last year? Would that have put them right where they were? Because were they the five seed or were they the home team? They were the home team in that round, right?
No, I thought they were the 5 seed.
Oh, they were the 5 seed. You're right. They were the 5 seed. Yeah. So it'll put them right there. I think the 3 teams on top are for sure on top. Milwaukee's the next team. I'm going to go, man, these lines are so damn good. Every time you do this, you realize.
I know.
I'm gonna go over because I think a lot of bad teams in the East make the top a little bit heavier.
Yeah. If Oladipo gets hurt, though, for any amount of games, I feel like it goes down.
Oh, it goes down a ton. He's one of those teams that has one guy that makes up the whole roster. And I love Sabonis.
Yeah. Though. Yeah.
So what'd you decide on? What'd you settle on with Indy?
I went the under. With the under.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to believe that the top 5 teams in the East get all the wins and everybody else gets all the losses. the Miami Heat at 41.5.
Man, this is another team full of role players. I mean, they're good role players, but they're just role players. There's no leader. There's no.
Yeah. They also feel a bit stale, don't they?
They're all in such good shape, though. Like, they're almost kind of made for the regular season. What was that? 2 years ago, they had that crazy push to end the year.
Yeah.
They're all going to be in good shape. There's good cohesion. Not a lot of roster moves. A lot of veterans. They won 44 last year, and the line's 41.5. So I'm saying the over. It's a bad East. And I'd say Pat Riley's always up to something. Pat Riley wants to win. He's kind of in this middle ground here. So my money's more on adding someone or making a trade that helps the team rather than going back 2 steps.
Yeah, I could see them making some kind of like Marc Gasol trade or something like that.
Yeah.
That raises them. This team as assembled, I think, is an under. But I'm with you that they seemed like a team that will trade. And I don't think it's going to be a home run trade. I don't think they're getting like Jimmy Butler or anything like that. But I could see them making some kind of trade that makes this roster marginally better. I think Kelly Olynyk is better than Hassan Whiteside at this point. And I think he's better for the style of basketball that they play now, along with James Johnson sort of as the point forward. I like Olynyk spacing the floor more.
Yeah, they proved it last year. Their small lineups were much better. And Yeah.
I'll go over Miami. Should they be my lock? 41 wins. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to get a better lock. I'm going to place hold them as my Eastern Conference lock. So we'll see. But I largely has to do with, I do think that they're a team that makes a trade this year. Oh, nope. I see my lock. The Milwaukee Bucks, 46.5.
Oh, Milwaukee. So Coach Bud alone, I think, adds 3 to 5 wins. They didn't really add anybody, though, which kind of shocked me. You think like a player like that entering its prime, they lost Jabari, that they'd add somebody. So maybe they'll make like a midseason move or something.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over. I think over 46.5.
I'm taking the over, and this is my lock. They're my 4 seed out East. And
yeah.
And I said I think the 5 best teams in the East are all going to win. Or did I say 5? Yeah, 5 best teams in the East are all going to win a lot of games. Indy being the 5th, I think they win this one pretty comfortably.
What if Giannis gets hurt? If he gets hurt, yeah. They're a 30-win team, right?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Eric Bledsoe, I think not great last year. Now getting a training camp, I think will probably help. And then, like you said, I think Budenholzer is really good. I think Brook Lopez is really good.
Yeah, I mean they've got some depth. You know, you figure Thon McCurr is going to be better, and and Middleton's healthy, and yeah, I like the over as well on this one.
That's my lock. I'm going to lock them in as over. I think when you have a player like Giannis, as great as he is, if you get a coach that actually optimizes what he does and spaces that floor properly, I mean, he has a whole other level to get to. So I'm gonna take the season of Giannis. I think they win like 49 games. And maybe 50 games, and I think he's a serious MVP candidate. Probably not, doesn't win it just yet, but I think he's on the short list of 2 or 3 players that's
yeah. I think he's a lot of people's pick. Did you see it? Did you see a picture of him recently? How jacked he is!
Oh yeah,
dude's crazy in shape. I mean, he's ready for the year.
He's got one of those I would have never have guessed he would be a guy that gets ripped, but I think he's got one of those bodies where. Muscled. I mean, I'm sure he works for it. I'm not trying to say he doesn't work for it, but he's got one of those bodies where he gets in the weight room and doubles his size.
When your arms are down to your ankles, you normally don't have like triceps and biceps, but that guy is still somehow jacked.
One of the best bodies I've ever seen. My God. The year of Giannis should be fun. I'm ready for Milwaukee to have a fun style of play, and I'm ready for them to be good.
They got a great crowd. Yeah, I'm on board too. That'll be fun.
The New York Knicks.
Oh, God. take the under. Take my money, Vegas.
29.5.
Oh, my God.
Last year they won exactly 29. They're not going to have Porzingis for most of the year. I mean, I think they'll bring him back very slowly because there's no point.
If they say if he's ready in January and they're 7-24, they make up an injury, right? You just sit him. You don't bring him back. I mean, the only thing, I mean, they want to tank. They want to get what, Kyrie and Durant or Jimmy Butler or someone like that next year.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's prep for them to lose and just kind of go all in the following year.
The Knicks also are, like the Lakers, always get overrated every year from a Vegas perspective. So I think the under is almost your default position with a team like that. What do you think of Coach Fizdale? Do we know that he's a great coach?
I think he's going to be solid. I think it seems like he brings a lot of effort out of his players. I mean, they were hardworking in Miami, hardworking in Memphis.
Mark Gasol hated his guts. And I mean, who knows if that has to do with Mark Gasol or with Fizdale, but the two of them just did not get along at all. And I think so much of what we like about Fizdale was that those press conferences. He had like two great press conferences, one really great moment. And it makes me wonder. We just don't know. I don't think he's a bad coach or anything like that. I just think we just don't know.
He's just not proven. And he just has a shit roster. I mean, Joakim Noah, is he
playing?
Not,
no, he's not playing. I mean, Enes Kanter is their guy.
Nurkic, I hate, you know, someone who left Denver. But, God, I feel bad for Moutier. That's just a terrible situation.
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
I wonder how they handle that situation because, you know, Moutier's had 3 years of chances. They've got Trey Burke. They got Tim Hardaway Jr. They got Natil Akina. If it were me, Moutier would not really get a chance until somebody got injured. But something tells me he's going to play next year.
He'll play a lot when they're 7-24 and they want to lose. They'll put him in quite a bit. So.
I think Moutier is a guy that looks really good in practices, in part because you call a lot of the fouls where he misses those shots at the rim and falls to the ground. But in the NBA, he never gets those calls. So. What about Mitchell Robinson? This is my dude. And Kevin Knox. See, here's the other thing is I like both of those guys as prospects, but I think they'll be good, but I think they'll be terrible next year. And I just think they're going to play a lot of minutes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Knox looked great this summer. He's only, 19, 20. They're going to give him some
minutes.
Did
he look great? Did he look great?
I remember in college, he was a little soft, a little pudgy. My expectations were pretty
really low
on him. Yeah. So it was like, oh, man, this guy is actually pretty good.
He was one of those guys that shot like 29%, but it felt like he shot 50%.
He's kind of like Donovan Mitchell, sometimes low percentages. But
yeah, well, Mitchell at least had all those game winners and highlight plays. But yeah, 29.5 wins, I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I want to change my lock to this one. There's like 7 locks in the East. This seems obvious. It's going to be way under this year.
What are the odds Jimmy Butler gets traded to the Knicks at some point in the season?
He's going to miss Karl-Anthony Towns and Wiggins.
You think he'll immediately regret that decision playing with Hazonia?
I'll take it back. I'm sorry.
I could see Moutier being a Tibbs guy. All right, I'm going to go under 2, but it's not my lock. Orlando, gosh, this might be the most boring one. 31.5. They actually have a somewhat interesting team in the works. It's just not there yet.
Interesting being like guys who are 7 foot or taller. That's about it. I mean,
yeah,
Mozgov,
I like them.
Mozgov, Bomba, Gordon, Isaac, and Vucevic. That could be their starting five.
Well, I like Isaac a lot. I like Gordon. I like and I don't like Bomba, but I'm intrigued by Bomba.
Yeah. I don't know why. When's the last time they had a good point guard? Penny Hardaway. I mean, they need someone.
Jameer Nelson. Jameer was a
kid. No, but he was a scorer. They need a point guard to like bring the town together. It wasn't Elfrid Payton.
With Jameer. Jameer was an absolute stud in those runs.
I'm
a Jameer stan, I think, at this point.
is he in the big three yet? Where is he at?
No, he's the starting point guard. That's part of it is you look at their roster and just think.
Wait, he is a starting point guard for the Magic?
I think so. I don't know who else it would be. Yeah, I think he'll be
Are they gonna sign Dwight Howard and Turkoglu? I don't know. I mean, Evan Fournier, he's the same guy year in, year out. He can score, but he doesn't really make people better.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to talk yourself into him now.
No, I'm not. Give me the under all day.
Man, it's such a low thing, but I'm going. Here's my philosophy: is I'm going to have a lot of teams over, especially out west. I have to; these East teams are the ones that are going to suffer. I think the East ends up with a ton of the top draft picks in next year's class.
Yeah.
And I think they're one of the ones that gets eliminated early and starts. You know, the Mo Bamba experience. I think he'll be one of those guys that you just can't win when he's on the court. And fortunately for them, I think they'll play him a lot, and it'll be both a good, you know, opportunity for him to learn while also losing and being a better draft pick. So
it feels like tanking.
Yeah. Jerry and Grant maybe plays, I mean, some combo point there as well. All right, we're both unders. Let's see who's next. Philadelphia, 54.5. They were like 52 last year, so two wins better.
Without Embiid, can they win 52? I think maybe they can.
They had like a 20-game win streak this year without Embiid somehow.
So, yeah, I see.
but you're right. When he was on the court, they were like 12 points per 100 possessions better. It just was random that they went on such a run without him.
They'll be motivated this year. They're competing for one of the top spots for home court advantage. They're younger guys, so they're going to keep getting better. It feels like an over. It feels like they're going to still keep going that way. And Wilson Chandler doesn't hurt. I mean, like you said.
He just gives them another body. He just gives them another. They get to play with 6'8" wings, not like for 48 minutes, which is a real luxury. In fact, he might be the worst of their four perimeter play, like Ben Simmons, Dario Saric, Covington, and Wilson Chandler. All good. Wilson Chandler's the worst of those, so which is great because I think, you know, he'd be like an average defensive wing. Here's what I'll say about them. We have no idea how Markelle Fultz will be next year, and unless he's absolutely terrible, he's probably going to play. If he's just merely bad, he's going to play, and there's a chance he's merely bad next year. Joel Embiid has not he's still a guy that if you told me he only played 20 games next year, I would believe it. I'm not out of the woods on him there. They don't have a lot of shooting. They're a team that I think is going to win 58 games, but there's a lot of things that could derail that.
Yeah, there's a lot of variance. But they have well-defined roles. Like, everyone on their team, not a lot of selfish players. Even your bench, your TJ McConnell's. Yeah. Redick knows his role. You know, everyone it's a well put together team, and Brown does a good job. They're coaching.
I'm taking the over. I think they win like 58, 59 games, but it's not the only reason it's not a lock. I think they're going to win more. I'm higher on them than any other team relative to their over under, but there's just too many things that could go wrong that it's not a lock.
Yeah, I have over. Yeah.
Then we have the Toronto Raptors. Oh, this is maybe the most fun one to talk about.
This it actually is. If you think about Kawhi Leonard, like 1 year ago, before all the drama, he was like one of the most boring superstars. Now he's kind of must-see TV. You know, it's kind of genius. I mean, we all kind of ripped on his uncle and his ideas and his value, whatever. But now it's like he's a star. He's interesting. I want to watch him. I want to see what happens out there.
Yeah, I think he's very interesting. 59 wins last year. Felt like they overachieved, but 54 wins this year with a better player and a better roster?
Right, yeah, and younger players that are getting better. Pascal Siakam.
I like him.
Van Vliet. Yeah, all of them. I'm taking the over as well.
They have a death lineup, and as good of a death lineup as just about anybody, in my opinion, just about anybody in the league. If you talk about Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, OG Anunoby, and then either Ibaka or Siakam, either one of those two guys is the five. To me, that's a death lineup, man. Go ahead.
It really is. And the thing about their death lineup, they're fresh, right? They've got a deep bench, or at least they had one. Or they used it last year. I don't know how Nick Nurse will do the rotations.
Oh, new coach factor, too. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. Do you know anything about him?
Very highly regarded. Among of all the assistant coaches out there, he might have been the most highly regarded guy as being this, like, you know, a Brad Stevens type, a forward thinking type, a new age coach.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like the over. I think there's a lot of excitement there, and I think Kawhi will settle in. You know, there's going to be some more cameras and stuff at the beginning, but it'll die down.
Remember how good Kawhi Leonard was? It's almost forget. We stopped talking about him all of last year. He's really good.
And the more that comes out, the more it seems like he wasn't really that injured. It was just, you know, so it's not like he's coming back from an injury. He's probably been healthy for like 8 months by the time the season starts. So
he scored 25.5 points per game 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, and shuts people down.
And guards the opposing team's best players and shoots 38% from the field and grabs 6 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.8 steals per game, which is kind of a lot. He's good, man. I think this team might – and then you think about Toronto needed a shot in the arm more than any other team in the NBA.
Right.
What a shot in the arm to have Kawhi. I'm going over. They might be my lock. I'm going to give them a mini lock status. I'm going to give it right. – they're a secondary lock for me.
I love the over on them. That city really backs up their players. You can see why players fall in love playing there. There's a lot of excitement. And I don't blame Ujiri for getting rid of DeRozan. I mean, there's no loyalty on either side, players or teams.
There was some personal stuff, I think, that makes it a little bit murkier. Well, yeah, I think he had his family moved to L.A. He had an opportunity to go to L.A. and he chose to stick. So there's some things where you feel – but yeah, at the end of the day, your obligation as a GM is to make your team as good as possible. And clearly in my head and in my imagination, this team is better, has a higher upside. Would Kawhi Leonard winning the MVP next year be a great story or an awful story?
I would lean towards, I don't know. I wouldn't say either. It's not awful. I mean, San Antonio will be a little bitter. I'd love to see it, actually. That'd be interesting.
It would be so interesting if they were the number one seed in the regular season and Kawhi Leonard was the MVP and he just looked like the best player in the league. I mean, I think it would be incredible. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I am too.
Do you see them aside? There was like the rumors that came out shortly after. People close to Kawhi Leonard are saying that he will absolutely fall in love with Toronto. And I kind of dig it, man. I'm part of me, this is the Denver in me, and I just think this is a cool city. I've heard nothing but great things about Toronto. And I think it would be cool for this overlooked city to be like, you know what? They do retain a player because the city's actually cooler than people think and the team is better than people think. That's my corner.
I like the roll of the dice. You saw Oklahoma City did the same thing with Paul George. You know, bring him in on 1 year, even, you know, a crap town like Oklahoma City. If they can keep Paul George, I mean, this awesome city like Toronto. It's an awesome fan base. Just make a bet. It's worth it. It's worth the trade, in my opinion.
I like it. That's my lock. That's my second lock. So I'm going Milwaukee. I'm going top heavy there. Milwaukee and Toronto. The Washington Wizards. Last one. Washington Wizards.
Excuse me.
The Clown Show. Oh, wait. Let me look at their line real quick. It's 44.5.
These guys, the Lakers went and, other than LeBron signed, you know, Lance, JaVale, Beasley, and then Washington said, "Hold my beer."
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, Jeff Green, and Austin Rivers. I mean, like, let's just find three of the most selfish players. I think they're going to be terrible next year. I think they're going to combust. I think John Wall, not a good locker room guy. Dwight Howard, terrible locker room guy. They're going under 44.5. I don't think they'll be better than last year.
I love this. I'm right there with you. 100%. I don't like this team. They have the talent. I mean, the 1 through 5 talent is good. In theory, that's a great starting five, but there's two. Dwight Howard is going to piss off John Wall. There's just no way that does not happen. He is going to piss him off, and I think they become very combustible. Dwight Howard, injury prone. John Wall has been injury prone recently. There's just so many things that could go wrong with this team next year, and I don't know that I think Scott Brooks is looking at, you know, his house might be on the market. You know, he's making phone calls to people he hasn't talked to for a few years just to be like, hey, you know, calling a couple of Sacramento Kings, like, hey, what have you guys been up to lately?
Yeah, he wants to get the hell out of there. I mean, who wants to coach Austin Rivers? If your issue with John Wall last year was him holding the ball too much, the teammates, why would you bring in Austin Rivers, the guy that dribbles between his legs 6 times, top of the key? You know, like, there's just...
Whenever I hear Washington people tell me they're going to be good, it's because of Kelly Oubre Jr. and Thomas Satoransky. And I'm like, all right, that's all I need to know. if that's your ace in the hole, then okay, I'm good.
I'm under
on them. It's not quite a lot because they are talented enough to surprise me. And the East is bad. But the cutoff for me was that Indiana team. I think Indiana's good. I think Milwaukee's good. The top three teams are obviously great. Miami, Washington, Detroit, Charlotte. Those are all teams that to me are – I think Brooklyn, I would not be surprised if Brooklyn like competed with those teams, not because Brooklyn's good, but just because the opportunity will be there. And I think those teams will know they're not very good.
Yeah, I agree.
So the East as a whole, what about coming out of the East, Dave? I know this is way too early. We're like 9 months away from a playoffs, but just which team do you like? We just did the regular season stuff, but in a playoff series, like who do you think would come out of the East through the playoffs?
Well, I think it's down to Boston, Toronto, and Philadelphia. Yeah. And I think Boston's got to be the favorite. I mean, as good as, you know, Kawhi sounds and all the hype and everything like that, you know, he's kind of been thrown in there. They're going to have to build some camaraderie real fast. But Boston, I mean, they've got just everyone buys in. It's team ball. They can switch. They're long. They're talented. They got a deep bench. They've got the coach. They've got the system. They've got all the elements. It's just they're ready to go. They're championship ready.
I would not be surprised if Boston wins the championship next year. And it's not because I think they're super great, but, you know, Golden State has had a great run of health in the playoffs. Yeah. Even though they've had some injuries, they've all come early when they were less vulnerable. Boston, I think they might be the most set up team. They have that death lineup, but they have a death lineup that features a traditional big, and I think that's important for a couple reasons. A lot of the death lineups are like, okay, well, this guy can guard every position and he can stay out of the way on offense. Al Horford can facilitate the offense. He can murder your 6'8 power forward that slid to the center spot. He can murder him on the boards. And so I'm not picking them. I'm still going to pick the Golden State Warriors probably until they split up. But I think Boston has a puncher's chance, and as good as I think Toronto and Philly can be, I kind of like Boston head and shoulders above those groups.
Yeah, they're not bad odds either, 8-1. To win it all. Yeah, I would take that. Yeah, to me, it's going to be competitive, but they do seem like the head and shoulders favorite.
Well, that's it for this episode, guys. We're going to do the Western Conference ones next, so be sure to keep your eye out for that one. But it's fun to go through the East. I liked this. One of my favorites of the year. It's always fun to kind of project a way too early odds. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll be back soon.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.